what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life but a merry heart, does make like medicine. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Just remember, media stands for making everyone dumber in America. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. I think we just did that, didn't we? It's like a repeat. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. You know, that's the only one I never have to change. Isn't that funny? I never changed that one.
Not surprised by that.
That's just classic right there. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because my spiritual family, that's you guys listening, supports me in the effort to encourage one another in the faith. That's why. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Here's a great one. Wow. When I wrote this down, I thought, this is me. I am guilty. Do we hesitate to ask others for prayer because we don't want to seem or appear needy? Wowzer. Hey, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. Just reach out to us. Give us a holler at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you dial 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like knowing that the person that you're talking to also supports advancing the kingdom of God.
Always.
There you go. That's a great, great thought process. By the way, I'd give you a 1-800 number, but we're too cheap. We can't afford one. So that's why we don't have one, just in case you're wondering. You can also see I'm working this into the future. See how I'm doing that? You can also text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice.
214-210-8483.
Thank you very much. Ah, you can also email us. That's fun, too. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Keeping it simple. David, just the David. Not King David, not, you know, bad David, good David, whatever. Not Super Dave, nothing. Just david@hemustincrease.org. If you send that to us, we will get that email. Additionally, we're going to send you up to the website, as we often do. There's a lot of cool stuff on the website. If you haven't gone through and read some of the articles, I encourage you to do that. Plus, there are some older sermons that I have preached in my way, way past. Well, maybe not so far my way, way past. But in addition to that, there are some older pieces of material that you might find interesting, plus some of the shows that I think are some of the more fun, better shows that people really enjoy. As well, on the website is an opportunity to give, and we encourage you to give because God loves that, and we love that you partner with our ministry, and I say thank you to everybody that's given. Here's our scripture for the day, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10. Give generously to God, and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hands. Yeah, check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeyMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeyMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeyMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeyMustIncrease.org.
HeyMustIncrease.org.
See, for whom does the bell toll? It tolleth for thee. Okay. That's a little Shakespearean drop on you right there. Hey, we're going to go to prayer. Abraham needs some provision. He's got some stuff going on. We want to be praying for him. And a lot of people in our audience, look, it's some people are doing pretty good. Some people are doing okay. Some people are doing like not quite as well as they need to be doing. And some people are really, really struggling. So I want to just pray that the Lord blesses you guys financially as well as spiritually. And that doesn't mean he's going to make you a multimillionaire. It doesn't mean he won't make you a multimillionaire. I'm just saying this is not the prayer I'm praying. What I'm praying for is that the Lord covers you so that you don't have to sit there and go, I hope it starts. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We ask you, we petition you, we seek you. We're aware that you are aware. We're not foolish to think that you don't understand what our needs are and what we have going on. And some of us have very immediate financial needs, Lord. You know, each and every one of those in our audience right now, the people that need it, like our brother Abraham. And we ask you to bring a miracle, a manifestation of the power of God in his life, and provide. And let him, by this process, use this as an opportunity to give you praise publicly for your provisions and your graces. And Lord, for all of us, when you do these powerful things in our lives that we might acknowledge you, your word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and we want to be able to say so. Some of us are a little hurt, maybe a little bitter in a few spots because things aren't exactly the way that we wanted them to be. They're not as simplistic as we want them to be. But this calls us to call upon you and to draw closer to you. So for all the things that we come up with, Lord, you're not just our resource, you're our source for life. And we ask you to make provision for us as we seek your face. You have all that is necessary. And Lord, we ask you to extend that to your kids. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay? All right. So that's how we rock and roll on a Friday. Be praying for one another, taking care of one another, caring about one another is a big part of what we are, which is why we ask you on a regular basis to please be praying for the audience. We are in Hebrews. That's right. How does Moses make his coffee? Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're at verse 18. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. So you're going to hear two different versions or two different thought processes as to what this is, but we're going to go through a couple of verses first, and then I'll pick it back up. Here we go. For you have not come to what could be touched. Let me repeat it so you listen carefully. For you have not come to what could be touched, to a blazing fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words. Those who heard it begged that no other words be spoken to them, for they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The appearance was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Wow. That is intense. And I ain't talking about camping out in the field. That is some intense stuff. Listen, for you have not come to what could be touched. So there's two schools of thought. And you know me, I love both of them. It's just how I am. First school of thought is you have not come to a physical mountain. That is absolutely correct, by the way. It is not a physical mountain that we've come to. In the next segment, we're going to talk about what kind of mountain we've come to. But the primary, and I think the one that it leans to, is you not come, as did the Israelites in the wilderness, to a mountain that could be touched. In other words, now I want you to catch this. And I'm going to really elaborate this, so you might as well just settle in. Now is the opposite of then. We are not where they were. Do you understand? Where they were and we are is not the same. So I'm going to help you understand that by giving you a little humorous quip, and this will help you, okay? Did anybody out there in Radio Land ever see the movie Spaceballs? Did you ever see the movie Spaceballs? It's a classic Jewish movie spoof on Star Wars. So if you've never seen it, I do recommend it, but then I'm Jewish and you might not get about one-fourth of the jokes. That's okay. It's just so many great jokes. But it doesn't matter. In the movie, the dialogue comes up. But relax, I'm just using this for illustration so nobody get upset. There's two players in this dialogue. There's Colonel Sanders, right? Or for Colonel Sanders, get it? Instead of a colonel, it's Colonel Sanders like Kentucky Fried Chicken. But in the movie, it's Colonel Sanders. It's like, okay, just follow. And then there's a Dark Helmet, which is supposed to be like Darth Vader. Okay, so just listen. Colonel Sanders, this is what he says. Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now. Dark Helmet. What happened to then? Colonel Sanders. We passed it. Dark Helmet. Well, when did we pass it? Colonel Sanders. Just now. We're in the now, now. All right, so you're thinking, what has that all got to do with anything? Because what we do is we forget that we are in the now, now, not in the then. And what it was then is not what it is now. How bad was it back then? Let me explain to you how bad it was. If an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. That's what the passage says. It should be bold in most of your Bibles, or at least in italics. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. That means that if so terrifying that if a, in the divine engagement, that if a stray bunny touched the mountain, it was taken out. Down the bunny goes. If you think that's harsh, I encourage you to understand that they were executing people if they went too far towards the mountain. You get too close, dead. You're worried about the bunny. They're wiping out people left and right. Like, don't do that. If you don't like it, by the way, you can call God out. Just let me get some distance first because I don't want to be around you when you do that. Here's what it was. In the mountain then, for the children of Israel, where the presence of God dropped, you couldn't get close because of the holiness issue. And nobody was allowed. They put barriers around there. It's like, oh, stay back. You're gonna get burned up here. Right? And what it is, wow, that's so powerful. It's like overwhelming. And this was the powerful declaration of God manifesting himself to the people. And what's that whole thing about? The whole thing is about for you and I to grasp with God that back then you could not approach the Lord the way that you can approach him now because of Jesus. So back then, they couldn't even touch the mountain. Like, you touch that mountain, you're gone. You're a bunny. You're out. You're a human being. You're in trouble. You are not allowed to do that. But just like your sins, that was then, and this is now. So what we do when we come back is we're going to look at the now part, which starts in verse 22. But I want you to understand how serious it is. It's such a big deal that if people drew close to it, they would be killed. If an animal touched it, they had to be stoned. And Moses, who spent a lot of time with God, by the way, personal time with God, said, I am trembling with fear. That's how intense and how serious it was. But the scripture says you did not come to that mountain because that was then. When we come back, we're going to talk about the this is now part. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
When Joshua was trying to figure out, you know, the Lord and his decision for the Lord, and he was doing pretty good and had good training, he made a decision to follow the Lord. Then he made a decision that he wanted to really commit to devotions. I told him I was proud of him for that. That's his own decision. He has to make that call. Nobody can choose that. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and this is one of the most bizarre statements. You're never going to hear a more bizarre statement. I hope this gets on the radio. You know, you can be born and raised Jewish. You can be born and raised Italian. You can be born and raised in many different things, but you can't be born a Christian. Can't do it. Because you have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. There's no being born a Christian. That doesn't work. That's a lie. You have to make a choice, an individual choice. Your 15 generations of your family could be Christians. When you're born, that does not make you a Christian. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a Christian. You understand that difference? It was just something that dawned on me. Like, you know, people don't talk that way. Well, he was born in a Christian family. That doesn't mean he's a Christian. Plenty of murderers came out of Christian families. That doesn't mean a thing. That's nothing. But anyway, going back to it, I had to share that because that's that thought that just really struck me as odd. But the power of our words is so noticeable. And Jesus says, hey, you know, I got one for you. By your words, you're going to be justified. By your words, you're going to be condemned. So my question to pose is why? That's so forceful and brutal. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 15. You guys like that one, huh? Like that. I could tell below. I like that. Matthew chapter 15. Here's the reason. Verse 18. Matthew 15, 18 says this. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And the reason that Jesus said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you'll be condemned, is because your words reveal what's in your heart. And you will know, you can listen to other people and know by their speech. And I'm not even talking about coarse language. I'm not talking about swearing. I'm not even talking about any of that. I'm not even necessarily talking about negative speech. I'm talking about you will know a person's heart by what they say.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Now, I know some of you are like going, Dave, that was such a weird beginning. I know. Trust me, I will explain it, but you got to stick around to understand what's going on. Here's your first trivia question, by the way, in case you're wondering about that. Here we go. Which prophet prophesied the day of Pentecost that had the outpouring of the Spirit, referring to Acts chapter 2, 16 and 17? Which prophet in the Old Testament prophesied that? Interesting. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We're going to do our DNA because we live by DNA. And I heard just the other day there was news, and then I found out something that I swear the Lord explained it to me, that in the next week there's going to be more news, and then in the week after that there'll be even more.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I just realized that it doesn't really matter because there's always going to be news, because there's always a new day. So there's always going to be news. So how do I respond to that? I walk in DNA. That's what I do. I was like, that doesn't matter. That way, I'm just kind of prepared regardless of what comes down, regardless of the direction. I don't care. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day that you breathe is a day you spend time with God. Just that simple. And I ain't talking about collective time, although that's important. I am talking about separated, private, nobody interfering, all by yourself on the mountaintop, in the closet. Yes, that's right. Jesus said, get in the closet. Or any other place where you can find seclusion between you and God. Period. That's draw closer to the Lord daily. D. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never. They're going to, how long have I been saying this? You've been with me for, how long have you been with us now?
Almost a year.
Almost a year. Ever since you've been with us, have I not been saying they're going to ban, they're going to make the Bible hate speech. Hate speech, it's coming. And what they're saying now, political hate speech, that's going to turn into Bible stuff.
You can see it coming.
It's coming. It's coming. I've been saying it for 10, 12, actually 15, 20, 25 years. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Doesn't matter. You don't be ashamed of it. And remember, they have no heaven to put you in. And you don't want to be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. And then, A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM, other people matter, which means we take on their stuff, and the good and the bad. And we burden with them, and we also glory with them. And we rejoice with them. And in doing that, you get a little bit more out of yourself. What you find then develops in you this wonderful opportunity for you to become freer from the things that pull you down. It's just like that's how it works. That's our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus' word or his words. And A, always be ready to serve. And our trivia question once again, which prophet prophesied the day of Pentecost? What was the fulfillment in Acts chapter 2? Which prophet had said that in the Old Testament? If you think you know, you have a short window to call in, 972-445-0770. 214-210-8483 is the text, and then david@hemustincrease.org. That would be the email. Now, I want to go back to this text that we were talking about because it's super important to understand. We just talked about verse 18, 19, and 20, and 21. And in Hebrews chapter 12, 18, it says, "For you have not come to." Stop. That is not what we've come to. We have not come to the blazing fire, the darkness, the gloom, the storm, the blast of the trumpet. We've not come to the mountain where animals, if they touched it, they were stoned. If people got too close, they were executed. We've not come to the mountain where Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." Verse 22. Look at verse 22. Instead. So this is in direct opposite. So verse 18, you've not come to. Verse 22, instead you have come to. Oh, good. What have we come to? The now, not the then, the now. We've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the myriads of angels in festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn, whose names have been written in heaven. We haven't come to a mountain that it quakes and people have to die and everything's just like gloom and there's lightning and there's storms and there's darkness. And by the way, the scripture says gloom for the old mountain because the terrifying, powerful presence of the Lord was there. Now, because of Jesus Christ and the redeeming work, we come to a mountain that's completely different. We come to Mount Zion, which is the real Jerusalem, to a festival, which is a gathering of happy times. To the assembly of the firstborn, which is Jesus. He's the firstborn, and whose names have been written in heaven. That's us. Could there be anything cooler, description-wise, for us to rejoice in? We assemble in Mount Zion, the heavenly one, because, get this, our names have been written in heaven. Let me explain to you how that works. Did you ever have to get reservations for anything? For a car, for an airplane, for a dinner, for anything, right? If you have a restaurant reservation, what do? You go in, you got the maitre d', and you give them your name. What does the maitre d' do? Check to see if your name is on the list. If your name is on the list, you get a table. If you're renting a car and your name is in the system because you get a car. Hey, guess where you have a reservation? No, you have one in heaven. And you need to get up there. Check. That's why people, they make all those jokes about Peter going through the list, seeing if your name is on there. And it's just like going through. Look up. There he is. Dynamite D. Come on in, bro. It's just that simple. It is. Our names are written there. We're connected to it. Look at verse 23. Look at what it says. Whose names have been written. Whose names, plural, have been written in heaven. That's us. That is us. Instead, we've come to Mount Zion, city of the living God. Oh, that doesn't seem gloomy at all. The heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, yeah, this sounds good. The myriads of angels. A festival gathering. Woohoo! What's a festival gathering? Exciting. I can tell you one thing. It ain't dull. A festival gathering to the assembly of the firstborn. Who's the firstborn? Jesus, firstborn of the dead, never to die again. First one to do that. And whose names have been written in heaven. That's you and me. Oh, my goodness. We got a reservation in heaven. I can't wait. That's what's cool. So the contrast, the reason that, the author of Hebrews goes through that, verse 18, 19, 20, and 21, is to go, bad news, dark, gloomy, yucky, but you're not going there. Good news, great, fantastic celebration, festival, angels hanging out, everybody happy, dancing, literally celebrating together. And you're in it. You're a part of it. You're connected to it. Wait, this is the best part. You have a reservation. You have a reservation, baby. It's in heaven. It is in there. And you know what? God never loses a name. Isn't that great? That reservation is exceedingly tight. That's a good thing right there. Now, how exciting is that? You see, you have to sometimes you talk about the bad news so for you can understand how to get to the good news. Well, we're in the good news place, aren't we? That is good news. Which prophet prophesied the day of Pentecost? The answer is the prophet Joel. Joel prophesied in chapter 2, verse 28 through 30. Just as a side note, chapter 2, verse 32 also is the scripture, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, just like Romans 10, 13. Very cool. We'll take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi, I don't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it's kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.